We're still studying what it means to look from the top down instead of the bottom up. And that's positional. It's when you are in Christ. Christ is in you, but are you in Christ? And that's the whole of what the Bible calls sanctification. So it's not Christ dying for you, not Christ near you, not Christ separate from you, but you, Christ, in Gary form. You have no other life. Christ in Lisa form. Not Pete form, because he screwed up. No, yeah. But the whole of this is, we've got to let Christ live his life in us, and we do that by letting. But we can't let when we use our own mind. Our mind is constantly trying to bring us back into the world system. We convince ourselves that he's not, but he really is.
And is letting a function of the mind?
Hmm?
Isn't letting a function of the mind where it's you turn from whatever your mind would generate and let
this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
But the letting word is important here.
Right. It's, but you can't have the letting without knowing what is that means. So let's go to Philippians 3, or 2, I mean.
Philippians 2.
Starting verse 4, chapter 2. So in chapter, there's several lets here, so let's look at let. Start in chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation or your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So here it's let your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now the let here it's really the mind of Christ. When you let the mind be of Christ there, when you don't let anything of you be there.
And you would have your senses exercised to discern soul from spirit, or you wouldn't be able to let. Would that be right?
Well, I think, let's go on.
Go ahead. Let's go.
And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Now, what is the conflict that he saw? Let's go back to Romans 7 for a minute. Romans. Remember, Paul didn't confer with flesh and blood about any of the gospel, but took, there was no writings except the Old Testament. He took the Old Testament and went out into the, for 3 years, he went out into the desert. And then, it still wasn't letting. Then he spent a long time in Antioch, which was, still wasn't letting. And then he finally started, he didn't write his first letter for 21 years. But now let's look at what his conflict was again. Verse 14, for we know the law, that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, I don't want to do. And what I would do, that I do not. But what I hate, that's what I do. This conflict is inevitable because it has to be overcome by your willingness to have it overcome. God never violates your will. He will at the last, because he says, now will I arise. All hell will break loose. But this conflict of Paul was real, and it's real in us, and there's no way to slough it off. And so let's go on. For that which I do, I don't want to do. For what I want to do, that I do not. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now that's the first major step. When I told you that was a major, major time in my life as a believer. It took several years before I could understand what that meant. I consent unto the law, the Torah, that it is good. Now why is it good? It's good because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let's look. Then he goes on. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin, the person of sin. Remember, we have sin, we have trespass, and we have iniquity. Iniquity is the fruit of the fall. Sin is the result of the fall. And trespass is what sin does. So no matter, and that's all the mind can do is trespass. Because the mind cannot live by faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Everybody see that a little bit? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I want to do, I do not. But the evil which I want to do, that I don't. I can't even, my Bible is torn. Now if I do that, I would not, that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, the person of sin. And who is the person of sin in Paul? It's Paul's mind. Because that's what makes you have a person. You've lost innocence, and so you're only aware of self. That's the purpose of the mind. To cause you to be aware of self. And the mind is always the mortal enemy of faith. The two cannot coexist. Now, just think of the courage that, to take that he wrote this. This was written just 4 years. This was written from Rome. It was before he was arrested. No, it wasn't written from Rome. Never mind. I don't know what to go there. But you see, this is the conflict that he's talking about in Philippians that all of us have to go through.
Yeah. I never saw that scripture in Philippians before.
All right.
Talking about this.
I find then a law, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, we always think that, it's in, almost always in our thought process, when we think about the fall, we think that, well, that caused us to do evil. No, it caused us to do good, too. Whatever you do that you think is good is evil. Does that communicate?
Because it's polluted.
It's polluted because it's of the mind. And that's the garment spotted by the flesh. For I delight in the law of God after the inner man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, or the law of my inner being, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now remember, he's referring specifically to the form of punishment in the Roman Empire, where for the very worst crimes, the criminal was, as he was alive, was chained face to face with a dead body. And that chain, that he couldn't escape it. So as the body of the dead body was rotting and the maggots were forming, then they were crawling into the anything inside. We can't even imagine such a death, but that's what he is saying. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, it doesn't say anybody. He just says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and it's the mind of Christ is the only one that serves the law of God. But with the flesh, which is your mind, the law of sin. Now that's the conflict that all believers must go through until you see that you are the dead man that is Christ has been chained to. Now let's go back to Philippians. Verse 30, having the same conflict of verse 1, chapter 1. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. That conflict doesn't, the evil one is constantly trying to cause you to be in the picture somehow. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's the definition of a Seder, that is of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. In other words, don't be concerned with what you do have or don't have, but on the making sure that the others are fulfilled, no matter what their need is. Now, let this mind be in you. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And the word no reputation is kino. And it's the same word for vanity of emptiness, that he sees the world as empty and vain, and now he sees his mind as empty and vain. And so we let that mind which was in Christ Jesus be in us. And who, even though he was in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And if you look, you can't escape it. No reputation means empty, to the point of a vacuum. Was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now we also must be obedient unto death. Again, Christ, when he had seen the vanity and the emptiness, that there was nothing in the world that could satisfy or give him any sustenance, then he was baptized. And he died and was buried as Son of Man. He rose from the dead as Son of God, alone. But the mind was always there. Satan was constantly tempting him. We know in the major temptation, he didn't fall for. But those weren't the only four. Every time when he said, Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this? No, for this hour came I unto the world. And that's the same that we have to say when we're in suffering or we're in need. We stop leaning on our own arm of understanding for anything. And that's the most frightening thing there is for a believer to do. Because your very being will depend on the faithfulness of God instead of leaning on your own arm of understanding. And so this is why it's got to be Christ living as you in total faith, not letting the garment be spotted by the flesh in anything. And so this is why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And therefore, the preaching of the cross is the love of God. Because Adam can't be saved. And nothing about him. And so we let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. And the form of that, we've studied many times, is how Israel was led in the wilderness. When the cloud was down, they stayed in the tent. When the cloud raised, they moved. And that's how we must live our lives in this world. When you have more than one option, you do nothing. When the cloud, that's the cloud. The cloud is really doubt. When the cloud is raised, you have, it's clear there's only one course of action, then you move. And it says it's whether the cloud is down for an hour or a day or a month or a year or 39 years, as it was in Kadesh Barnea, they couldn't move. And that's the love of God, believe it or not. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You finally see that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And when you are, that's the position in which you can look from the top down, not from the bottom up. Because you know who your life is, and your life is hid with on the mercy seat in Christ. And that's the only way you'll understand the scriptures, is looking from the top down. You think you understand. Every one of the prosperity gospel thinks they understand. You understand? You can't, nobody can tell you what you should repent from, except but so whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's of the sin, of sin, of the evil one. There's no in between. There's no, it's not analog, it's digital. When you return to your mind for something, then the spirit is cut off. And this is, again, it's the scariest thing that a believer can do, is to live by faith alone. But it's, but you can't go around this scripture that says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Right. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man is a friend of the world, he's an enemy of God. Now, it takes a long time to get to this place. You've got to find out that everything that you've been doing in your whole life was empty and vain and meaningless, except to bring you to the point of seeing that it's empty and vain and meaningless. But we don't ever admit it. It says, walk in the sparks of the light that you have kindled, and this shall you have at my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. And says, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you sayeth not, there's no hope, for you found the life of your own hand, therefore you're not grieved. And it goes on and on and on. And that's repeated over and over and over until you see the emptiness and futility of everything in time and space. That's what the meaning of poverty is. Paktos. Means you no longer can gain any sustenance or satisfaction from the things that you're doing. Well, that's the baby step. And then finally you can get no sustenance or satisfaction from the wildest, wonderful things that you could think about. And so when you reach the point of seeing that nothing in time and space gives you sustenance and satisfaction, then you'll arrive at the mercy seat. Otherwise, you're still messing around in Kadesh Barnea, or you're over there by the mountain, or you were doing all these little things, and you're convinced. Everybody in Kadesh Barnea thought they were in the Promised Land. It was a sanctuary in the wilderness. But everybody that was born in Egypt, except for Caleb and Joshua, perished in the wilderness. And everything that happened to them, to Israel, and that's why it's so important to read the Old Testament. Everything that happened to them is a picture of what you do or don't do. And I mean, that's the meaning of repentance. You can't repent from anything that you think is good. We have 3 minutes left. Oh, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but well, I say the same thing in every Bible study, in different ways, but it's the same message. That's the preaching of the cross. Your death, He lives.
Amen.
And some have compassion, pulling them out of the fire. And others save with fear, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. I didn't say that right. Go back to Jude a minute. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Verse 22 and 23 of Jude. Jude is just before Revelation, if you're still looking.
Do you have a page number for it, Gary?
1272.
Your mind is the only thing that can cause a spot on the garment. Another saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Anybody else?
Just hearing three words that work together, the waiting, letting, waiting, and rest. When you let, you wait, you rest, He is. You wait. When He is, He is. Until then, you wait, and you let. And
but you can't rest. Start the waiting until there's repentance. Because otherwise you will think that, I mean, repentance is what releases the power of God. It's what permits you to rest and wait. Now again,
when you've come to the end of yourself, as you speak often, you stop. You don't do anything else. You come to the end. All your efforts are fruitless.
Right.
So you wait.
That's what.
Stop.
That's why when I said, at the conversion, I said, I don't care what it costs. That's the repentance. I didn't know what repentance meant then. But it cost me everything. And that doesn't change. It costs you everything. There's nothing that you can bring into the kingdom of God except those that you that are also willing to repent. Repentance, the Holy Spirit is one that gives you the power to repent. Because otherwise, when you stop, there will be if you stop without repentance, then you're still doing it of your own understanding. You know, I did all the bad things, even after I was at the conversion experience. I continued having these grandiose plans until finally, one by one by one, they all went away. No. It's only the mind that can spot the garment. Amen. I was interviewed by somebody, I don't even know who it was, but it was when I was in bed, and they just wanted me to give a few comments. They found out I knew Bannon, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said, and I'll say it, John here, he was one of the two smartest people that I've ever met. The other one was John Bloom. I should probably take that one away, though. But that to me, I mean, because that's what I used to worship, was somebody's mind. I mean, I worship my own mind. It's sort of how stupid I was.
I just had a thought on this mind of Christ and seen from the top down. God's ways are not our ways, and His methods are not our methods. And if we can't let our self go, we'll never see in the manner He sees. And you have to be a believer to believe some of the stuff that would come to you from His mind. And there has to be some destruction of self.
That's exactly it. I mean, if I pay the slightest bit of attention to my mind, I'm a damned fool. I've wasted a life.
Probably what Jesus said.
Huh?
Probably what Jesus said.
I mean,
everybody left him on right before.
But it's
but it's God's way.
Well, I don't know whether it's God's way or not. I know what I do. If I ever get my mind back in the picture, then you know, I just feel terrible. But it's whatever if whatever I'm doing gives me total peace of mind.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I know. And it doesn't make any sense to my mind. There's nothing about what I do that would, I mean, the idea that I'm a Bible study teacher, that would be anathema to me.
You know, while you were talking, I was thinking about how many times projects, if you do a project with the people here,
right?
Every time, whoever it is, there will be a point, or with any believer, not just the people here, there will always be a point where somebody will say, and, you know, I think if we do this, people will come to Christ, or, you know, and it's like a drop of acid that you've just thrown into the mix. If you say anything like that, and, you know, we know these people, you know, the people at Good News Holdings and the various people we work with, like, as soon as you put the name of God on it, it just becomes crap. It just completely falls apart.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's kind of hilarious to me because we've had a bunch of projects. Yeah. And every one of them went
failed.
Bye-bye.
Everyone failed.
The only one that had really results was Samizda, the first one. But
if anyone's come to Christ because of anything we've done, we had nothing to do with it.
That's true.
God calls, He justifies.
It's all Him.
But we try it a little more.
Let me just one thing, and I'll quit. This mystery must be inner, an inner reality, fully comprehended, one union. I never again question it. And I've never questioned it, but I certainly have put my mind in the midst of it periodically. How can I possibly say and be happy that I'm suffering for Christ? You know, you've all heard me talk about that. I was incontinent, lying on the bathroom floor in so much pain I couldn't think. And these words came out, "Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain." And that... that was caused me to go deeper than I didn't even know existed.
That is the consolation of suffering. If it's not for Christ, it's just crap.
Yeah, the idea of the kind of pain that I was in, that was suicide pain. I mean, there's nothing like it. And and it came from somewhere, but Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain, because I've just been praying righteously about wanting to be delivered. And then that came up, and I said, oh, shit. Well, I said that because that shit was all around me.
Oh, shit. You didn't need to add to it.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Take it big, guy. I'm tired of this.